Welcome to Musically Challenged, your weekly helping of random music conversations based on whatever topic the guys choose. Their goal is to entertain and inform you on a variety of themes. This podcast is an expression of their lifelong love and commitment to music. Simply stated, music is life. This show may include adult themes and language. Once again, welcome to Musically Challenged. Here are your hosts, Chad and Lou.
Welcome to episode 18 of Musically Challenged, your weekly helping of random music conversations based on pretty much whatever topic we want. I'm your host, Lou Schwalbach, and alongside me is Chad Knight. This week, we're going to be looking up to the Great White North and focusing on songs put out by Canadian artists or bands. That huge mass of land up there has given us plenty of amazing music, as well as plenty of things that could fall into the Hall of Shame, but we won't focus on the crap for now. Today, we're going to sample some of our musical choices that Canada has given us throughout the years. We're not professional music critics, as I'm sure you know by now, by any means, so don't expect us to be the best of Canada. You may not hear your personal favorite, and that's fine. Perhaps we'll revisit in the future, and you'll hear who we are missing. So put on your toque, grab a platter of poutine, while we get the show started.
Oh, poutine!
I know, right?
Oh, you know, one year for Christmas, my family, we do this. Every year we pick a different ethnicity.
Okay.
And one year I said, I pick Canada. And they're like, Canada? The hell are you going to make from Canada? I'm like, poutine. Because I had been watching a lot of the Food Network.
Oh, I love that channel.
So I'm like,
It's dangerous, though.
It is. But I made a breakfast poutine.
Ooh, that sounds good.
So I took, I deep fried like French fries.
Okay.
And then I put eggs on them.
Mm-hmm.
And just all the other poutine stuff, you know, the cheese curds and the gravy and all that. And it actually turned out really good.
It sounds pretty delicious.
Even though my family goes, don't ever do that again.
That's why it's a once-a-year thing.
Exactly. So
I understand you got something for us here.
I do. It's amazing. We have had contact from the outside world.
Wow.
Yeah. And it gets even better. So we are based in the middle of the United States.
Yeah.
Well, north. Upper Midwest, yeah. This comes from a gentleman by the name of Tori Nielsen. And Tori is from the Netherlands.
Like European Netherlands. Not that there's any other ones. Shut up.
Yes. And he wrote in, and he gave us a little bit of a review here. So we're gonna read this. And since you listened, Tori, obviously, thanks for writing in. And if you have any more suggestions, Tori or anybody else, at the end of the podcast, we'll tell you how to write in, and you can get on the air, too. So Tori wrote, bear in mind that I have no knowledge of podcasting, just opinions. He sounds a lot like us.
Yeah, very much so.
You got good chemistry and your back and forth seems very natural. You're having fun and it's contagious. You are good at sticking to your chosen topic without forcing it. What I enjoy most is when you discuss or butt heads over your respective likes. And he puts in parentheses here, like whether Joe Satriani is better than good, which is kind of funny. He goes on to say, I think this is good that your tastes aren't worlds apart. That way, there's less ground to cover when you disagree. You can get straight to the point. I'm less interested in dates and sales, etc., all those things I can look up. Why you like what you like is more interesting to me. I think you could discuss fewer songs and take a bit more time discussing each individual one. All in all, it's a really nice listen about a topic I enjoy. I'm going to keep listening. So I hope you will, because I think you wrote this to us somewhere around episode 10. I don't remember exactly, maybe 9, maybe 11 kind of thing. But it's one of those things where we're going to take what you told us and we're going to use some of it. I have gotten rid of the sales records and the dates I'm still going to use to the point of I will tell you when it was released. That's a thing for me. That's
Chad's all about dates. That's his OCD coming out.
Something like that, or it's the history guy in me.
That's probably more it, the history thing.
But we're going to attempt a slightly different platform on the way we deliver things. But we are not going to cut down the number of songs as of yet.
Right.
You want to kick this one off?
Yeah, absolutely. And first of all, thanks, Mr. Nielsen, Tori, however you want to go. We'll be, if we want to be formal, Mr. Nielsen, or unless Mr. Nielsen's your dad, whatever. But thanks again. So we're going to get started with our Canadians by one that's actually kind of entertaining, and that's Let's Go to the Mall by Robin Sparkles.
Okay, that's not even a real song.
It is a real song. It's just not a charting song. They obviously recorded it for something.
Okay, but is the actress who plays Robin Sparkles Canadian?
In the show, she is.
Well, I know she is in the show, but is she in real life? I'm not saying you're wrong.
Have you not said on your previous podcast, this is not real life?
Well, that's a different podcast. This podcast is real life. Who is the actress? I can't think of her name.
Colby Smulders.
And I actually think she is Canadian.
Could be.
Don't quote me on that, but I believe she is. But what I was getting at is we're doing Canadian songs. But I suppose if we're going that Robin Sparkles is the singer, mm-hmm. she would be Canadian.
Right, and Colby Smulders' character, the hell is it in Robin?
Yeah, and How I Met Your Mother.
Robin Scherbatsky is Canadian in the show.
Correct. Well, you find that out later on.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, so go ahead.
All right, so we're just going to start this one, in my opinion, on a hilarious note. Colby Smulders, as we mentioned, Robin Scherbatsky on the CBS show How I Met Your Mother, unbeknownst to the rest of the gang, was a Canadian teen pop star back in her younger years. Let's just take a listen to this, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. During, in my opinion, one of the best episodes, the Slap Bet episode.
Oh, I love the Slap Bet episode.
Yes, exactly. They found out about her sordid teenage past and why she has come to hate malls. The song in the video, a throwback to the Tiffany or Debbie Gibson years, have just so much typical and stereotypical Canadian stuff in them, it's ridiculous. Also, a lot of the 80s stuff that shows up in there, too, like the robot and the jelly bracelets and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you remember all that stuff. Not that you wore them, but, you know.
Well, not those specific things, but I do remember them.
Okay. And between all of the 80s imagery and the Canadian stuff.
What's wrong with wearing jelly bracelets?
I'm sure you could pull it off if you wanted to. I don't know. I think this song is just a grand slam. It was hilarious. I didn't finish the entire series, but somebody ruined it for me. So eventually I'll get back to How I Met Your Mother.
I have seen the series 3 times.
Really?
Front to end.
Okay.
Because until I started podcasting, I didn't have a life.
Okay.
But I did a quick Google search here, and Colby Smulders mm-hmm. is Canadian.
Awesome.
She was born in Vancouver, British Columbia.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't Ryan Reynolds also born in Vancouver?
Sure.
You got your damn phone out. Look it up.
Okay, fine.
Smart-ass response that is there.
All right. Okay, here we go. Come with me, fans, as I...
surf the interweb.
Surf the interweb. Ryan Reynolds... He is Canadian. He was born in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Awesome.
What's in the water up there?
I don't know, but there's a lot of pretty people that come out of Canada.
I was going to say, because they're both gorgeous.
I'm not going to argue. I'm fully 100% straight, but that being said, he is an attractive man.
Exactly. That's where I was going with that.
So what's your thoughts on this song?
I have no real thoughts on that song.
Kind of threw you for a loop on this one, didn't I?
You did.
Then my job here is complete.
It's a very stereotypical song. It's not good. It's not bad. It's hilarious, and especially the way it's presented to you. Mm-hmm. You're never going to hear this song on a CD anywhere. It's just not going to happen. Unless Lou puts together a CD of songs that will fuck with Chad's mind.
Or if it's the How I Met Your Mother soundtrack CD. Which, actually, I think they've released.
Really?
I think so.
Is it just, like, music that they use, like...
Probably background music. I think that and Sandcastles in the Sand is on there.
Oh, God. Even though I did love, since we're talking about Robin Sparkles, they had that variety show with...
The Super Late Night deal?
Yeah. No, the late night show on the show, the Canadian Robin Sparkles, and then there was the other girl, the black girl, and then there was the guy, Alan Thicke.
Okay, all right.
And they're talking about taking care of their beavers.
I remember that. And Robin Thicke's another Canadian, too.
Yes.
Or Alan Thicke, too, obviously.
Well, yeah. But, so anyway, you know, it's a fun song. I don't think you even hear the whole song on the...
Not on the show, but they did release the full thing on the CBS website and, of course, on YouTube.
Of course.
So they've got the full honest-to-God video for it, and it's just as hilarious as you think.
It would have to be. But anyway, I'm going to jump into my first one.
All right, go ahead.
Now, mine's a little more conventional.
It's finger quotes.
True. With this band, actually, it might be finger quotes.
All right.
So, If I Had $1 Million by the Bare Naked Ladies.
Okay.
So, this was released in 1992 and in 1996.
All right.
On their second and third album, which I thought was kind of odd.
Bands do that shit all the time, though.
Well, I guess. It was never released as what they call a true single.
Okay.
And it placed number 2 on the top 50 essential Canadian tracks.
I kind of want to read that list, actually.
You know, I kind of do too now. This fun song is a great look at what someone might do if they suddenly came into $1 million. I know I wouldn't spend money on some of these things, but some of it I would.
You know what, and I would have to agree. There's a few things that they sing about. They're like, no, not yeah.
You know, like a reliable automobile. I'd spend money on that. But then after they talk about all these things they want, the tone of the song changes. Because all they really want to spend their money is your love.
Yeah. And yeah, you'd buy a green dress. Well, you'd buy a dress, but not a green dress because that's cruel.
Right. So let's listen to this for a few seconds.
And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you some art. A Picasso or a Garfunkel. If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a monkey.
Haven't you always wanted a monkey?
I get where they're going with the song. It's a song where they're just having fun, but yet longing for love, which really seems to be a topic in a lot of music.
Right.
Of course, they would buy you a fur coat. But not a real fur coat.
Because that's cruel.
Right. And they would buy you a green dress. You stole my line. But not a real green dress.
Because that's cruel.
Exactly. Plus all the Kraft macaroni and cheese you want. So what's your thought on that, Lou?
Sign me up.
No. Plus, you know, the what do they call them? The ketchup. The fancy ketchup. All the fanciest of ketchup. Dijon ketchup.
Dijon ketchup. Yeah, and then, what was it? The build a treehouse in the yard.
Yeah.
Take a limousine to the store.
Yeah, because it's more expensive.
Yep, exactly.
I actually think they overvalue $1 million.
Well, who knows? Is that a million American or is that a million Canadian?
Well, either way, they're overvaluing it. But if it's Canadian, they're even overvaluing it even more.
Well, this was written a few years back, so, you know. But either way. No,
maybe it's a million loonies, eh?
That could be. No, I enjoyed the song. In fact, they're a very cult band.
I guess so.
They've got a pretty solid following, but it's kind of like Dave Matthews, where they're mainstream, but they're not really mainstream unless you talk about the diehards.
Right.
I enjoy them, and of course they've gotten a new lease on life, not super, but with the theme for the Big Bang Theory.
Right.
But I think the lead singer, isn't he gone because of drugs or something?
No, it wasn't the lead singer. I want to say it was the drummer or the guitarist had cancer and passed away. If the lead singer died of drugs,
well,
I have not.
He didn't die. I thought he was like out of the band because of drugs. He's the one that kind of looks like Leonard, actually, a little bit.
Oh, I don't know. I guess I didn't know.
But, I mean, that and they did the theme, I believe, for the Weird Al show. They did some music on there.
Okay.
I'll be honest, a lot of artists went on the Weird Al show.
Yeah.
But no, I agree. I enjoy the song. I have a couple other favorites of theirs, but this is still one of the top ones.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's One Week, and there's a few other ones.
Pinch Me, which...
Oh, yeah. Pinch Me.
When you see the drive-thru and the dude flips them off. And, of course, MTV had to blur it.
Well, of course, because that's MTV.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what do you got next?
All right. Next, I have one. It's called Go For a Soda by Kim Mitchell. Now, yeah, I can tell by looking your face you have not heard of the guy, and I'll be honest, up until I started listening to one of the classic rock stations down in Iowa, I had never heard of him either.
Okay.
Thank goodness for Shazam, I'll tell you what. Kim Mitchell's not really very well known in the States, but has a pretty solid following up in Canada. He started as the lead singer guitarist for a band called Max Webster before going solo in 1982, and he's been rocking out ever since. I heard the song for the first time on the radio when I lived in Des Moines. It was 94.9, 95 KGGO, and for whatever reason, the song just stuck with me. I loved it. I don't know what it was. It was just something where I'm like, huh, this song is kind of cool. We'll just take a quick listen here. No, the lyrics are silly. They just straight up are. The guy and a girl are having a bit of a head-to-head fight, and no one's in the right or wrong, so to resolve it, might as well go for a soda.
Works for me.
I mean, I guess maybe this was instead of, you know, hey, let's go have a beer and be fine, eh? It's going to be, let's go have a soda.
Hey, you know, soda's good, though.
Hey, when you get to go to bottle of pop, you're good.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I'm even, as you can tell, I'm probably chuckling just writing this and reading this. I really enjoyed this song. I don't know what your thoughts were on this one, but...
You know, I haven't listened to it yet. Honestly, it sounds like it's going to be fun. You know, it's one of those things. It's one of those artists where they might be huge somewhere else, mm-hmm. but we've never heard of them here, which always blows my mind because you talk about these bands. Like, if we go somewhere and we're like, talk about, I don't know, some regional band or some band that just made it in the United States, they may have never been heard of anywhere else in the world.
Well, you mentioned, for example, let's say local Vic Ferrari. You talk anywhere else about Vic Ferrari, you'd be like, what? Whereas around here, he's kind of like, oh, Vic Ferrari, never seen him before. Or Pat McCurdy.
Okay.
You know, he's another one where you'd be like, everybody knows who he is from the state, but if you go any further from maybe Illinois and Minnesota, possibly Michigan, they're not going to know what the hell you're talking about.
Right, exactly. I'm going to jump in next with Nickelback. The song Rockstar. This was released in 2006 as a single. Their album, All the Right Reasons.
Okay.
Rockstar is Nickelback's most popular single ever, peaking at number 2 on the UK charts and being certified platinum.
Very nice.
I want all of you to get off people's backs if they're a Nickelback fan. I'll raise my hand right now and say, fuck you, I like Nickelback.
I have no problem with them either. That, in fact, didn't I mention they might have been one of my guilty pleasures?
It might possibly. How did they become the red-headed stepchild of rock music? Lou?
Maybe because people were done beating up on Hootie and the Blowfish? I don't know.
That said, the song is a lot of fun. It's written, it seems, from a new band point of view of what it means to be, you know, a rock star. Everything is free and the drugs are cheap. Where have we heard that before? Dire Straits?
Money for nothing and your chicks for free.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So let's take a quick listen here. Because we all just want to be big rock stars and live in hilltop buses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. Well, I'll stay skinny because we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up. Every playboy bunny with a bleached blonde hair. And well, hey, I wanna be a rock star. One last little tidbit about this is the spoken word vocals between each of the verses. Do you know who did that?
Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I'm surprised. You got me on that one. I'm surprised you knew that.
I did, actually. I remember watching the music video, too, because the video has a ton of stars in it.
It's a cameo fest.
Oh, it is. It's almost... Well, remember Ghostbusters, the video back in the day where they had all the comedians on there? But this one blows it away with all the people that came on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So what do you think of this song? Like you said, you're a Nickelback fan as well.
I am a Nickelback fan, and I'm a little surprised that this is the highest rated one because some of their other stuff, like How You Remind Me and Never Again and everything else, got played to death on the radio.
Yes, but we've learned over the year or over the time doing this that just because it's played a lot does not mean it charts.
This is true. I'm trying to think, what was the one from Spider-Man? Wasn't it him and the dude from Saliva? The song Hero. It was Chad Kroeger and Josie Scott, I think.
Okay.
I wonder if that's credited towards Nickelback or Saliva or just solo
artists.
It's
probably solo artists.
Because that song went nuts. That played so much that I got sick of it, just like I'm sure you did.
Well, the song and the show and the movie. And
it was a good damn song. And as we mentioned before, I won't even be a closet fan. I'm an outed fan of Nickelback.
Does that make you nickel gay? On the Nickelback mountain?
I don't even know how to answer that.
Okay, that was a stretch. All right, so what do you got up next?
My next one is one that I would absolutely go after, and that is Shania Twain. That don't impress me much.
It's a fun song.
It is, and, you know, just, Shania. Mm-hmm. Love or hate country music, most people could find something to like about this country pop singing import. That's a mouthful right there.
It is. It's a mouthful I would like.
She had a very bubbly persona that just seemed genuinely nice and kind of a girl next door feel to her and the image, and she was attractive as hell at the same time. Her music hosted crossover success to both the country and the pop charts, with a lot of hits ranging from the slower ballady ones like You're Still the One to the girl in power anthem of Man, I Feel Like a Woman, which if you remember the Robert Palmer style video with the guys and then her in the top hat and tails. But that's not the song we're talking about. This one is, again, That Don't Impress Me Much, and that's sung from the woman's perspective. We'll just do a quick little snippet of that.
Okay, so you're Brad Pitt. That don't impress me much. So you got the looks, but have you got the touch? Now don't get me wrong, yeah, I think you're all right. But that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much.
Now this one is, again, from the woman's perspective. It's about three guys trying to get in good with Shania. The problem is they're so full of themselves that she calls them out on their bullshit. I know a few people who would have done anything to meet Miss Twain. I wouldn't go anywhere, but I would probably give up a bit at one point in time, and who could really blame them? I mean,
yeah, oh God, she's beautiful.
I really dug, and as I mentioned, I really dug the Man I Feel Like a Woman video and the top hat, the shirt and tie. That's an image that's going to be burned in my mind for a while. But with this song here, it's pretty entertaining because, you know, you realize that there's always the players that are out there who are like, they got a great car or they're super smart or whatever the case is. And this one just busts them down and be like, you know what? Shut up. Talk to the hand. I don't care.
Yeah.
And it's just a really empowering type song.
Oh, absolutely. And she, like I've already said, she was beautiful. The song is fun. And I like a lot of her catalog, actually. There isn't much that she does that I would consider bad.
Not really. I mean, I'm not a huge country fan, so I'd be more of the rocking type stuff, more pop type stuff than the older, like, Whose Boots Have Your Bed Been Under? Or Whose Bed Has Your Boots Been Under? Whatever the song is.
Yep.
Not really style, but at the same time, I would say that her catalog is pretty good altogether. So what do you got next for us?
Well, I'm going to go with a lady as well. I'm going to do Avril Lavigne's Girlfriend, which was released in 2007 on her album, The Best Damn Thing. It hit number one in 8 countries, including the U.S., but not Canada.
Is the irony lost on anybody there?
No, not really. AllMusic highlighted the song as one of the most significant punk pop songs of all time. I don't know if I would go that far.
That's saying a lot.
So, yeah, anyway. So, Hey Hey You You. Okay, the song is not only from a Canadian artist, but kind of a guilty pleasure, I'll be honest. Avril is like the bad girl in school, and you want her, but she kind of scares you. In this song, she's blatantly going to be your girlfriend.
Whether you like it or not.
So she knows you want her, and she's going to be your excuse. Let's take a gander at Avril. I mean, listen to her song. So, Lou, what's your thoughts on this song?
I enjoy it. The pop type of it is just funny. I remember when she came out, the Skater Boy was super, super huge and popular, and she was like kind of the Canadian answer to Fiona Apple.
I don't know if I would go there, but okay.
Where it's like kind of a poppy, kind of a bad girl, kind of scary, almost not really gothy, but sort of. But then it turned into pop. It's like the image, and then all of a sudden she opens her mouth. You're like, did not expect that coming from you. Again, this is a memory service thing. Didn't she date the lead singer of Nickelback for a while? I think her and Chad Kroeger might have actually dated.
You got me. Sure.
Well, let's say yes, that's correct, but
if we're wrong, why don't you let us know?
That would be Canadian inbreeding.
Canadian inbreeding. Isn't that just called Canadian marriage?
Sure.
I don't think we want to go to inbreeding, just because that just seems...
How about breeding within the borders? Breeding within borders. That's going to be the new... what's the word I'm looking for? That's the new charity. Breeding in borders. And on that note, I think the topic has completely gone off the rails. And what are your thoughts on the song?
I already told you my thoughts. I love this song. She's nice to look at. She's kind of got an edge to her. I like a little bit of an edge in my music. And, you know, she's not going to be, in all her music, she's not going to be told she can't do something.
Oh, no.
You know, she has done everything from, you know, very punk style music to... What's the song I'm thinking of? There's one where she's like a cheerleader, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. But anyway, she does a wide variety of music as well. I mean, sure, her pop punk is kind of her, bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
But she does do the ballads and those kind of things. So,
right.
You know, overall, I can't find anything really bad about her that I don't like, except the way she spells boy and skater boy.
Well, didn't she spell skater with an eight also?
Yeah, yeah. Things like that. Okay, people, I'm going to tell you a little secret about me. I am a curmudgeon when it comes to certain things, and learn how to spell.
Chad doesn't do text or leet speak.
At all. You can ask Lou. I text in full sentences with punctuation.
I think I reply to you in full sentences.
Usually,
unless I'm fucking with you.
It's just one of those things. It's just one of those things that drive me nuts. So spell skater boy the way it should be spelled, not with a B-O-I. Anyway, what do you got next?
We're going to slow things down just a little bit. We're going to have a little Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot.
Mm. I actually really love that song.
I dig this song hardcore. I mean, yep. I could listen to this anytime. I've watched the video so many times. I think YouTube is probably going to look at me going, quit bumping up the numbers on the on the watches, because you want to keep watching this, damn it.
You know, it's I love some of the stuff. Like, he uses some of the original names, like Lake Gitchagumi,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. Gordon Lightfoot actually has one of those voices that are very soothing to listen to.
It is, absolutely. I couldn't name any of his other music.
No, I've listened to other stuff, but I mean, that's his claim to fame.
Mm-hmm.
But
so Canadian singer-songwriter Gordon Lightfoot gives us this chilling tale about the time leading up to and the sinking of the ore freighter, the SS Edmund Fitzgerald. He recounts the events with a little bit of artistic license of the Big Fitz and her crew, and some local history thrown in. Take a quick listen here.
The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. Later that night, when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Now, she sank in the frigid waters of Lake Superior on November 10th, 1975, primarily due to high waves driven by hurricane-force winds and gusts.
Yeah, I have read that they believe it was actually a rogue wave, and that split her in two.
That, you know what, there's so many different theories that are about there on this. It's kind of like the Titanic. There's a ton of theories,
right.
And so far nobody's really confirmed or denied anything.
And I don't think there really ever will be. As far as I know, they have not found her yet, have they?
The Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
They got the bell out of her. They,
oh, okay.
They did find her. They got the bell out of it. I don't think they found everything, though.
Okay.
No lives were spared. I personally feel this was a very fitting tribute to those who passed away and who actually still do this kind of work.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, you think about, like, the shows, like Deadliest Catch, where,
yep.
I mean, yeah, that's up in the Alaskan wilds and everything else. You don't think, oh, they're on the Great Lakes, whoopty shit. No, there's a lot of stuff that goes on to doing this kind of thing. I got nothing but respect for those sailors.
Oh, yeah. And even the Great Lakes, those are some dangerous bodies of water. That's a lot of water. That's a lot of space to cover.
Oh, it is. And I know that they talk about the nor'easters over, like, by Boston and New York and everything else. But we get those hurricane force winds and gales that come through, and that'll roll you in a heartbeat.
They, oh, yeah.
You know,
there's superior. There's a lot of skill and talent that goes into keeping those ships the right side up.
Absolutely. Superior and Superior, Michigan, all the other Great Lakes also, you know, it's not like going on the lake out behind mom and dad's house. I mean, this is like no bullshit. It's serious.
Yeah, you sink here and you're dead.
Right, exactly. So let's get a little bit more lighthearted, shall we?
We shall. Well, not a super lot.
Oh, damn it.
Bad timing, because we don't look at each other's list before we start, so we don't know what order they're going to pop up in.
Little tip here, though. I've already switched mine just to be different on yours, though.
Yeah, but I want to really talk about this song.
So let's go find Chad really wants to, so we'll appease him.
Bad Girlfriend by Theory of a Dead Man. This was released in 2008 on the album Scars and Souvenirs. It was one of four top 10 hits by the band Theory of a Dead Man. The song is about Tyler Connelly's wife, actress Christine Daniela, who makes him feel very protective of her because she is attractive and always has other guys hitting on her. So this thumping, pounding song from Theory is a lot of fun. It comes out of the gate with a loving phrase, "My girlfriend's a dick magnet. My girlfriend's gotta have it." That kind of sets the tone for the whole song. Here, let's take a listen.
She likes to shake her ass. She grinds it to the beat. She likes to pull my hair when I'm making her tease. I like to strip her down. She's 92.
right. Then it continues with, grab her ass, acting tough, mess with her, she'll fuck you up. That just gives you, that's the, in the first verse of the song. And it only goes downhill from there.
You know, I've never been in a relationship that I could say that hardcore of a girl I've ever been with.
So I'm gonna throw this to you, Lou, and get your take. Over the top, out of bounds, just right.
I enjoyed it. I wouldn't go there personally because I have a feeling that it would be a lot of couch time for me in any relationship I've ever been in.
Right.
But that being said, I mean, I don't think it's offsides as long as she knows that she can, as long as she knows it's okay and can handle it.
So the first time I heard this song is when I heard Theory of a Dead Man was coming to the local fair here in town. Got hooked and then saw it live. The girls on the stage, man. Woo!
Let me tell you.
I feel a Ric Flair moment coming on.
When I first did the music for this one, I looked at this. I'm like, did I hear that correctly? I looked up the lyrics. I'm like, oh, shit, I did hear it correctly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It is not a nice song.
It's not a song you take home to mom?
No, not at all. So what do you got next?
Well, we're going to go a little bit more, again, finger quotes, mainstream here. We're going to go Working for the Weekend from Loverboy.
Okay. Now, Loverboy's coming to the fair this year.
They are. I'm actually kind of excited about that.
I am too, a little bit.
So I have to ask, what is the very first thing that comes to mind when you think of this song?
Blank?
Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze doing the Chippendales from Saturday
Night Live. Oh, that's right.
Oh, it's so bad, it's good. This Vancouver band, because apparently everybody from Canada's from Vancouver, it seems like.
It seems to be.
Formed just on the brink of the 80s in 1979 and has been going for a really long time now, as we found out. Now they're still touring. They had a couple brief hiatuses in 1988 and 1990, but they've been recording and touring ever since, releasing an album as recently as 2014.
Okay.
Mike Reno and the gang have put out plenty of tunes, much of which could be considered arena rock, including this one. So take a quick listen here. Everybody's working for the weekend. Now, their best-selling album, Get Lucky, was released in 1981 and went 4 times platinum, including this song. And as I mentioned before, I'm sorry, I cannot hear this song without that image in my head of the mullet-wearing Swayze, rest in peace, man, and Chris Farley also, rest in peace, doing the Chippendales thing. And the fact that Mike Myers and I think Victoria Jackson and I think it was Kevin Nealon, who sat on as the judges, kept a straight face. I mean, that's professional, because I'd have been laughing my ass off.
Well, yeah, and because you have to look at the fact that it is live. I mean, they don't just call it Saturday Night Live. It is actually done live.
Yep.
I mean, sure, they practice, you know, through the week, like any show that you do, but to do that and to keep a straight face, I've done shows. I've done dozens of shows in my life. And there are shows I've done where you've got to hide the fact that you're laughing. One good trick, by the way, is to bite the inside of your cheek. I've done a show that I had to bite the inside of my cheek so much that it bled.
I know that's what you got to do, but ouch.
Yeah, well, you know, things happen. I really like this song. It's one of those songs that you all kind of feel it in your bones because, you know, as Americans, a lot of us work that, you know, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 kind of job. And probably less of those nowadays than there has been in the past.
Sure.
But everybody always looks forward to the weekend, whether your weekend is Saturday and Sunday or if it's Wednesday and Thursday, depending on, you know, what kind of job you work and when you work and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Everybody looks forward to the weekend. So why not?
Absolutely. So what do you got next for us?
Okay. Now I'm going to take it and slow it way down. I'm going to bring it down to Danny's song by Anne Murray.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I told you I'm going to slow it down. So
I seem to recall way back in the day, I don't know if this was on or off mic, you mentioned that you have an Anne Murray story.
I have an Anne Murray story?
Yes, there's a reason that you wanted to pick Anne Murray.
Well, because my mother loves Anne Murray.
Okay.
So this is kind of a shout out to Mom. I know you don't listen, but peace, Mom. I love you. Danny's Song by Anne Murray. It was released in 1972 on the album Danny's Song. Now, the interesting thing about this is I found this is a song that was actually written by Kenny Loggins.
Loggins and Messina, wasn't it?
Yeah, Loggins and Messina. for his brother. It's just a great song sung by Anne Murray. It makes you happy. She sings about giving birth to a son who's going to have the world, even if we ain't got money. We're so in love with you, honey. And they're talking about a baby that's not even here yet, you know? It's that maternal instinct of you already, and my wife will tell you this, you're in love with the baby before it ever gets here.
It'd be like, you know, the ones that you see, you know, sitting with their hand on their baby bump, sitting back, kind of talking at their belly.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's a completely different thing between a man and a woman. So as a guy, I wouldn't say I loved my children before they came. You know what I mean? It's just not the same kind of connection that...
No, there's not. Because, I mean, there's a very intimate... You are physically connected to the child. So, and it's giving, it's growing inside of you.
Right, right.
As opposed to first meeting the child upon the birth.
I enjoy this song and a lot of Anne Murray's work, actually. Don't like it? Doesn't matter. I do like it. Here, listen to this.
And even though we ain't got money, so in love with you, honey. Everything will bring a chain of love. And in the morning when I rise, bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything's gonna be alright.
So we kind of talked this one early, but any more input on this, Lou?
This is one of those songs that I knew the song, but I never knew the name of it.
Okay. Yep.
So when I was doing this, I'm like, why does this sound? Oh, I know this song. And then it's like, okay, now it hits you, you know? So I knew the song and it's not a bad one. It's a lot slower than what I normally listen to, but mm-hmm. It's got a very emotional feels to it.
Yeah, it's got the feels. So, all right, what do you got next?
Next, we've got one. We've actually talked about this artist before. In fact, I believe this was all the way back in episode 1.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this was Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams.
It was in episode 1 when we talked about misheard lyrics.
Exactly. Say what you want about the man, Bryan Adams is a friggin' trooper. The guy's been active in putting out music since 1975.
Wow.
And not just junk, either. I mean, the stuff that he's put out is actually charted. Here's this for a stat list for you. He's released 13 albums, 5 compilations, 2 soundtracks, 4 live albums, and this is the hilarious part, 69 singles.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
No shit, right? You know, between that and his philanthropic work, the guy's...
Wait, 69 singles?
Yes.
It just hit. Wow. I was so working up to the partridge in a pear tree thing that it just...
the dude's a busy man. Let's just listen to the song real quick here.
Those were the best days of my life.
Was that enough time for you to regain your composure?
A little bit, yeah. Now, he did choose to have his kids' names hyphenated, but I'm not going to completely hold that against him. He gave us this song about this...
Hey, wait, my children's middle names are hyphenated.
I do not care for last names being hyphenated. Middle names are having like 4 names, like having 2 middle names. My wife has that. She has her first name, she has her maiden name, and her middle name, as well as my last name. But nothing is hyphenated. I don't care if it's 15 middle names, I do not want a hyphenated last name.
So the fact that I hyphenated their middle names, I get a pass on that?
You're okay with that?
Okay, cool, go on.
He gave us this song about the nostalgia of life gone past and the physical discovery of the summertime. Maybe the misheard lyrics of the first real sex dream is more appropriate than we once thought. But, I mean, it tells a good story. I mean, between Bryan Adams and Mellencamp, singer-songwriters, you can't hardly get around it. I mean, it's a great song. I enjoy most of Bryan Adams' stuff, I'll be honest. Some of it's a little softer than I like, but when he rocks, he can actually rock pretty good.
Okay, but did you enjoy the theme from Robin Hood?
That wasn't only him, though, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't only him, but he was part of that atrocious thing.
It was played to death. It's not going to be on my top 10 hits of Bryan Adams.
Fair enough.
But it would probably make the list on the CD.
Okay, fair enough.
Obviously, you're not a huge fan of that song. What do you think about The Summer of 69?
I do like The Summer of 69. That is one of those songs that, like you said, it's just a fun song. It makes you think of being too warm, of drinking beers and maybe putting your feet in the water kind of thing. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, he starts talking about his passion, which is music. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about how it all began. He got his first real six string. Now, I don't know what he means by his first real six string.
He had one of those little Hello Kitty guitar things.
Hello Kitty in 69.
That shit's been around forever, dude.
Yeah, but not in America.
Well, maybe Canadians got Japanese import stuff before we did. I don't know.
I don't know, maybe. But anyway, so, you know, he talks about that love of music, and it just translates into this, you know, he got his guitar and, you know, spent the summer learning how to play said guitar. And it's just, I don't know, I really dig that song.
You know, and it's part of the song, too, is like he had a girlfriend, that didn't remain, but his love of music did.
Exactly.
And that's really all you got to say about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what do you got for your next one?
All right, up next, and I'm gonna kind of preface this one. So as I was looking for Canadian artists, mm-hmm. I said to both of my girls, I said, give me a Canadian artist, you know, just off the top of their heads. One said Avril Lavigne.
Of course.
Which I already knew about.
Right.
And the other one said Justin Bieber. Now, of course, I know who Justin Bieber is, mm-hmm. but I didn't know he was Canadian.
Really?
I didn't.
Okay.
And B, I'm not a huge Justin Bieber
fan.
You're
not a Belieber?
I'm not a Belieber. So then when they did that, then I said to them, okay, now give me your favorite song from each one. And they both gave me songs, and I used Girlfriend from Avril Lavigne, which was actually on my list already, but they verified that that's one of the good ones. Mm-hmm. And then for Justin Bieber, they actually gave me three different songs.
I'm guessing Baby was one of them?
Baby was not one of them.
Oh, I'm so proud of your kids.
There was like Boyfriend.
Okay, yeah.
And I can't remember the third one. And then the one I chose, which is Love Yourself. This was released in 2015 on the album Purpose, and it was ranked the best performing single of 2016. That I did not know.
Myself either.
When I heard the song, the first few times I heard the song, I didn't know it was Justin Bieber. And I dig the song. Mm-hmm. So the song, penned by Ed Sheeran and was made a hit by Justin, is well written and performed superbly. I'm not a huge Bieber fan for the most part, especially his old catalog.
No, too bubblegummy.
Yeah. And like I said, I got this from my daughters. The third song, which I have here in my notes, was actually Beauty and a Beat featuring Nicki Minaj.
Okay. I've heard the name, haven't heard the song.
I watched the video. Video's kind of cool. Song itself, very dance music-y kind of thing.
Well, I think the moment that Nicki Minaj opens her mouth, I tune out.
So let's just go ahead and pollute your ear holes with this.
If you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself.
So honestly, he can sing, and this song tells a story about a couple that broke up, and now the healing begins. Pretty much by telling the other one to go and love yourself. I have a feeling it was originally written as Go Fuck Yourself. Lou?
You know what? When I first listened to this music, I laughed out loud. I'm like, oh, I see what you did there. It was awesome. But I think CeeLo Green actually took the cake on the on the Fuck You song.
You know what? I love that song.
Oh, I
really do.
I the edited or the regular one, I cannot. That's on my fun, happy songs list.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have that disc, and if I'm in a bad mood, I'll put that one on. I'm like, hee.
You turn into Michael Jackson?
Kind of, yes.
Okay.
Except,
what do you got?
Except not as dead.
Ooh, too soon?
I would hope not.
Okay. What do you got next?
All right. Well, we're going to finish this off by healing your ear holes with a true classic band, and
okay.
That is Rush.
All right.
Now, I'm choosing Tom Sawyer.
Oh, I love that song.
See? Speaking of artists who have been around for a long time, we finish up with Geddy Lee, Alex Lifeson, and Neil Peart, also known the world over as Rush. This Toronto native, not Vancouver this time.
What the hell?
I know, right?
Throw him off the list!
This Toronto native band has given us their signature band of rock ever since they formed in 1968.
Wow.
Yeah, changing up their style a few times, as most artists do. Something I wasn't aware of is that their early stuff was blues-oriented.
I wasn't aware of that either.
You know, knowing what I do in Rush, that struck me as a bit of odd and kind of hard to fathom. But then again, Journey was a jazz fusion band.
Yeah, I remember when we talked about that.
Before
yeah.
Steve Perry came along right. and made him good. So we'll just... Let's just snap into this one real quick, and then we'll keep going.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Now, anyone who listens to classic rock stations has heard Rush before, and usually it's given away by Geddy Lee's recognizable voice. They put out singles ever since conception, and the one that most people seem to recognize and know are during their rock to progressive to synth times of 1975 to 1982. Rush isn't really for everyone, but I have to give my shout out to my uncle here. My uncle Brian got me into Rush. I was riding with him to work one day. It was kind of like take your nephew to work or whatever.
Okay.
And this was back in the days of the Sony Discman.
All right.
But it was a car one, so it had the little extra stabilizer, right? He put in Rush's 2112 album.
Okay.
Which had the Templar Steering's 2112. And my eyes got wide. I loved it. I wanted him to drive even further so we could keep listening to the CD. I went and got home and bought a copy of it, and I've kind of been a Rush convert ever since.
Okay, fair enough.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I know it's not for everybody, and it's a crime how long it's been taking them to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but that's just my own personal opinion.
Fair enough. Now, as far as Rush goes, I'm not a huge Rush fan. However, the song Tom Sawyer, if I was going to make an album of songs I love, that would definitely make the cut.
Nice.
Because it's just one of those songs that, I don't know, for some reason, I kind of...
Kind of gets you pumped, doesn't it?
It does. It gets you pumped, and I kind of identify with it. And I don't know why. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Have you... Okay, this is related, I promise. Have you seen the movie I Love You, Man with Paul Rudd and Jason Segel?
No.
The guy, How I Met Your Mother, Jason Segel.
Yep. Marshall.
Marshall. He's a huge Rush fan.
Yes.
So they do a one scene in this movie where him and Paul Rudd are playing... They're playing Tom Sawyer in their garage. And, of course, they're doing the drum part, if you know it, which is just kind of going crazy on the drums. And it's a sight to behold. They actually go to a Rush concert later on in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And I had a chance when I lived out in Washington to get to see Rush, and I missed it because I couldn't afford it, and I had no ride to the concert. I wish I would have gone, but at the same time, I didn't get high, so I'm glad I didn't.
That seems like the strangest reason for not going to a concert.
I got drug tested for work. And if I would have gone to the concert, I would have failed that drug test.
Only if you had partaken.
There was no way not to. My understanding is that Geddy Lee was so stoned that he was plucking his strings one at a time.
So it sounds like it would have been an absolutely horrible concert, perhaps.
Yeah, I'd have been kind of pissed that I spent the money on it.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, absolutely. Rush is, like you said, it's not for everyone. Not a huge Rush fan, but I do dig this song.
Now, you got one more for us?
I do. I have one more. All right,
let's finish this one up.
All right, so my last one, or the last one for this this episode, is Afternoons and Coffee Spoons by the Crash Test Dummies. So now, this was released in 1994 on the album God Shuffled His Feet. It is called the band's most popular song amongst fans.
Okay.
So, like, I know when I sent it to you, you were kind of like, this song?
I think my first thought was da fuck. D-A-F-U-Q. Da fuck?
So, what makes me just a little bit queasy? Well, let's listen to it first.
Someday I'll wear pajamas in the daytime. Oh, afternoons will be measured out. Measured out.
This seems to be a song about a man who is aging or thinking about aging. He says, someday I'll have a disappearing hairline. Someday I'll wear pajamas in the daytime. I love the music in this song, the use of the harmonica, and the sound. The song kind of has a blues traveler's feel to it. Like the song, I wonder what it'll be like to be old-er.
Nice.
I know, like, so you were like, what the fuck? So, once you listen to the song, though... Did it convert you at all?
I'm going to be 100% honest. No.
No? Okay.
I know their main song, exactly. Yeah. He's got a great voice for that one. The once there was this child kid who, I can't see his voice doing anything else. His voice bothers me.
His voice, well, he's a bass.
Very much so.
Which is not something you hear a lot of as a lead singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they work great in Alabama.
Yeah. Or Papa Momo?
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, the Oak Ridge Boys or something like that. But I don't know what it is. At the time that, you know, that I found Crash Test Dummies and started listening to him, I just was intrigued by his voice, actually.
because it's really unique. I won't take that away from him. For him to have that low register and have that unique voice, more props to you. It's just not my cup of tea.
No, and that's fair. I see what you did there. But the title and lyrics of the song
and that one took me a second to figure out, so we're even.
So the title and lyrics of the song are based on T.S. Eliot's poem, The Love Song of J. Alfred Drufrock.
The Love Sores, that's a different song altogether.
Yes. So anyway, I mean, I just, Crash Test Dummies is one of those bands, I guess you could call it a guilty pleasure. I dig their music. The album God Shuffled His Feet, there is not, in my opinion, a dog on the entire album. I don't know, it's just, it's one of those bands that I will probably listen to till the day I die. If they still existed, I would probably go to a concert. But anyway, so that's kind of where we end on that. So any final thoughts?
No, I know that there's plenty of other artists up in the Great White North that we could take from. So if you listening out there have any other options, or not options, but other ideas or people that you think should have made this list, give us a holler. And how can they do that, Chad?
Well, there's a couple ways you can do that. First of all, you can email us at musicchallengepodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Musically Challenged Podcast. Now, I also want to put out there, we're going to be starting a new series where we want you, the listeners, to send us music. So here's the idea. You will send us a list of 14 songs by 14 different artists and or bands. We will then take and we will do to them exactly what we do every week to these songs. Lou and I will split them. And then from there, we will make an episode out of them. But it's a chance for you to get us to review the music you want us to review. You don't have to have a theme to it. I mean, Lou and I tend to have themes, but you don't have to have a theme to it. You could send us a country song, a rap song, and you could send us whatever mix you want. We actually kind of look forward to doing these things. We've got our first one in. It's actually done by my daughter, but we'll be doing that one here in a few episodes. But it's just one of those, it'll be one of those episodes that it'll be a reoccurring series, but just as they come in. So other than that,
I just wanted to throw something in there. We're not going to give it any preferential treatment on this either.
No.
So if it's something that we're not a fan of,
we're going to tell you we're not a fan of it.
We may appreciate you as a person and thank you till the day we die for sending it in, but we're going to tear it up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we do on this show. We tell you our opinions. And if you send us crappy music, we're going to tell you it's crappy. If you send us great music, we're going to tell you it's great. We're not going to rip it apart just because...
Well, we're not just going to be dicks about it, but...
Right.
I mean, we have plenty of other ways to be dicks about things, but this we won't do this on purpose.
All right, so I want to say thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
You have been listening to a program from the Point of Insanity Network. Visit us at poigamestudio.podbean.com for more shows. Follow us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at POI Game Studios.